Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
In my business, there is only one place, and that's to be a winner.
Wash your hands, wash your butt, man. That's it.
Well, I felt like SpongeBob for a minute, right?
They said, hey, Dad, let's make a TikTok.
You know, there's times where you make plays that are special, and there's some times where you're like, that's pretty fucking good.
Hey, what up? It's Mercedes Lewis here, a.k.a. Big Dog. Big Dog, Big Dog, Big Dog. And you're listening to Poor Man's Package Podcast. Go, Pack, go.
Right, man, I'm so excited. Let's roll. Let's roll.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Package Podcast, the number one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer Sisvonowitz, joined, as always, with Kyle Tarkowski. Kyle?
Hello.
And happy Election Day, Kyle. Kyle, we were just talking about it briefly here. Well, let's get it out. Who'd you vote for today?
I vote to terminate the contract of Mike Pettine.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, that's fair.
I really hate, like, I don't like the sky is always falling type of fan where it's like one bad thing, fire everybody, fire this person, cut this person. So it takes a lot for me to get to that point. You know, with that being said, I think I'm at that point where I would prefer if we no longer are employing the services of Mike Pettine.
Yeah, this is...
Because it's a man's livelihood. It's a man's job we're talking about.
Sure.
But this is obviously a little unique because, you know, their paychecks set them off pretty well to where they can handle the job search.
Yeah, I don't think we have to worry about Mike Pettine's life after football with the Green Bay Packers. But no, to your point, this week has been the thought I've had more than anything else regarding the Green Bay Packers is, man, I have like dumb Packer fan brain all week where I'm like, ooh, we got to make moves. Oh, we got to fire people. Yeah. And it's like, this is the last thing, but it's to the point now where it's like, God, it's been the same song and dance for 15 years or whatever under the regime. I get it, and it's usually right, but yeah, I mean, we'll get into it more. I don't know if you guys remember the Packers lost 28-22. The Vikings. Very deceiving score. We'll have a lot of, this is probably going to be a really negative episode, which, you know, more power to you for listening. It'll be fun.
We try to, like, we always try to, you know, say, hey, we're still good.
And
after,
we are.
After
we
losses,
are.
And we are, but man, that...
It's
that
a,
revealed a lot.
It's a prolonged Sunday. Good. It's once again, it's like pulling the curtains back, like, one playoff win and then we're done. You know,
yes.
It's kind of like reassuring of that. But yeah, on this episode, we will have a very optimistic episode, like I said, of course. We'll have pick six. We'll break down the top six plays that shaped the loss at Lambeau against the Vikings. We'll break down the offense and defense. After that, we'll talk about the trade deadline, which was, you know, all the rage. This week after the game, we'll have a little, you know, the very flexible whatever of the week. This week, it is gatekeeping Packer people of the week.
Yeah.
After that, we'll have Is Kyle an Idiot / Stump Spenny. Then we'll have a preview of what can only be a really fun game in San Francisco. So starting things off, pick six.
Pick six. Pick six. Pick six.
All right. Well, the six plays that shaped the game, a really fun game. Who's going first? Kyle, are you going first?
I'll go first. First drive of the game. Packers got the ball first. They're moving the ball. It's looking good. It's looking fun. And
a little bit of a snag. A little bit of a snag.
A little bit of a snag.
Fourth down.
Coming up on fourth down. They run a little PA boot. which looked good, and Rodgers had to do a typical Rodgers thing and completely contort his body and make a on the money throw. I mean, he was a little high for Sternberger.
good enough.
But I mean, when you look at the release point and the way he had to release it, it's like you can't ask for much more from a quarterback. And Jace, thankfully, hand caught it. It was beautiful, right in the hands, and turned around, got upfield, and yeah, and eventually went and punched in the end zone to go up 7-0. So yeah, the first drive made you think, all right, 7-for-7 now. Seven for seven on opening drives in the game. And yeah, it was all signs going forward, and it looked good.
It was, and we'll obviously get into it later when we talk about the tight ends, but it was a good tight end game overall. For as much as people do, you know, bitch about not having enough weapons, it does seem like, you know, not the wide receiver position, but we're looking pretty good at the tight end spot. And Jace had a really solid game.
Seems to be turning a corner.
Yep, seemed to be turning a corner. Like you were saying there, that the ball was on point or it was good enough. Yes, it was good enough, but it was one of those balls where if it were EQ or MVS, Geronimo Allison, then
it's probably 0-0 after our first drive.
Yeah, but it was one of those that started to set the pace, and the offense did move pretty well in the first half, be it we only had the two possessions. But moving on, the next play, 1:34 left in the first quarter. The Packers are up 7-0. 3rd and 8, and this was the beginning of what the rest of the game shaped up to be for the defense. Delvin Cook catches a screen pass behind the line. Will Redman over pursues.
3 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
At least. Will Redman over pursues, completely misses him. Cook cuts it up and picks up the first down. I believe on the very next play. Scored the touchdown, but that kind of set the pace for what the defense was going to be. Missed tackles, being in the wrong spot, all that. And Delvin
Cook
obviously
very passive on defense, a passive play call. And then, like I mentioned to you, if they get that stop there, holding to 4th and 5+, 6+, I don't think that's 4-down territory. They either punt it or kick a field. I don't think they would have kicked the field goal, but
no, they were pretty close. I think they might have gone for 40, it, but either way, 35. it completely reshapes
the game. Packers can go down and go up 2 possessions right away. And yeah, that just was a miserable play to watch.
Yeah. And then Kirk's throwing the ball if that happens, which
don't even get me started.
It brings me back to like the Niners game last year, the last episode from last year, which if you want, you could go back and listen to that. If you listen to what we talk about after the game breakdown, it's pretty much exactly what we're going through this week. But in that episode, he kept saying 8.
Oh, yeah. It's, yeah.
Because Jimmy G only threw it 8 times, and in this game, Kirk only threw it 14 times.
I was going to say, like, it's the one silver lining about this dog shit game is that this was 2019's NFC Championship, this game. It was, like, if any, because at least with the NFC Championship last year, the offense was just dog shit and didn't do anything. At least the offense moved the ball and scored points.
Yeah.
But this year, this game, the defense, same thing. Just ran all over the place, make the quarterback do not a thing.
Mm-hmm. A reset, and we'll probably get into that later and see how we feel about the team going forward. But Kyle, the next pick six play?
So yeah, again, 2 possessions in the first half, 14 points.
Yeah.
But then fast forward to the third quarter when we're down 21-14, 8:04 left in the third, 4th and 10. Well, I mean, it should be mentioned on 3rd and 10.
Yep.
Like these are kind of one and the same. They're back-to-back plays. Another perfect throw by number 12.
More impressive.
Perfect throw. It was like that sidearm right over the middle. It was great.
Yep.
Defense by the coverage and right in the hands. I mean, Rodgers couldn't have put it in a better place for him to catch the football.
But then drop. And then on 4th down.
A perfect redemption story.
Yep.
4th and 10. You're in the end zone. Tie the ball game up. He rolls out again. Another perfect placement. Perfect throw by Rodgers on the run, under duress, right in his hands. Drops.
Yep.
And I'm eating crow. Is that the term?
I believe
eating
so.
Crow?
I would like
to know the origins.
I was
going to
say,
means, but
yeah.
I was very loud to you last week that EQ hasn't got his fair share of.
And I was loud back. It was a little heated
of
for
opportunities, which by the way, I think we need to get more contentious. That's, you know, that's
yeah,
good
no,
content.
I love it. Yeah.
And
I'm so smart.
Yeah, he's just, those 2 opportunities you can't get back, and I think that says a lot about him, and I think it's Freak Malik time.
It's it's one of those things. I mean, we just talked about it with Jay Sternberger there on fourth down. It was not the easiest catch, but he came down with it. EQ, the same opportunity. Third, dropped it. Fourth, dropped it. It reminds me of earlier this year how I think I talked about Alan Lazard and how sure-handed he is. And I believe the next game, he, on a third down, dropped it. Second or third down, he dropped it. Very next play, same type of thing. Goes to him, catches it. And that's, we need, it isn't looking for playmakers so much, but it's just these reliable guys that we need on offense. And EQ's showing that he's not exactly very reliable.
Like,
right,
Rodgers is the playmaker, and he is literally making the play for you. Just play.
Yeah.
Play the play. Yeah. Just do your job, and the play is made. That's it.
Yeah, you look at a guy like Robert Tonyan, he doesn't always get, like, that yak. But in this week, too, and it was the same thing last week, where he's making sure to make the catch.
Yes.
At least make the catch. If you get nothing after that,
first and foremost,
that's fine. Make the play that's there, and then we'll move on. You know, mm-hmm. We have Rodgers. He's going to do something later. Okay, but moving on. The next big play, it is 21-14 still at this point, just a couple minutes later, 6 minutes left in the third. A third and nine, and guess what happens? Dalvin Cook, a 50-yard touchdown reception.
On the same play that set up their first touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Yep, third, just flipped.
Yeah, a screen play, and we like to run the highlights before we record, and we paused when he caught the ball, and there's not like a yellow helmet on the screen.
It's like the defenders run to the offensive lineman, which I understand kind of getting in that habit, but they like ran out of the play just to get blocked, and then it
just to occupy the blocker, yeah.
And then it was all set up for Vernon Scott to make the tackle. And after being, you know, Vernon Scotch tape last week, he was the exact opposite. It, you know, fell apart, just kind of flopped over,
had the cinder block feet where he just kind of was frozen, and then made this like kind of just like half-ass dive towards these tree trunk legs of Dalvin Cook that mm-hmm. are going to do absolutely nothing. So. Yeah, again, another miserable play to watch.
Mm-hmm. Reminiscent of the LeGarrette Blount touchdown, which we've talked about several times this year. But Kyle, yeah, the defense is falling apart. Please continue for the fifth play.
And so now this play, I'm glad we waited 12 minutes before having to do this, because as we've mentioned before, we hate doing this. We hate bitching about the referees.
But
the referees were fucking abysmal. Excuse my language. I try not to use the F word that much anymore.
We never swear on here.
Fucking abysmal. A joke.
It's one thing.
Fourth quarter. 8:21 left. It's still a very, very doable ball game. 28-14. Packers are driving. Fourth and nine. Robert Tonyan runs a good route. It could have been a better ball.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been more on target. But the bottom line is Anthony Harris was at least a full step early and made contact.
Yep.
And not only it's one thing to not call PI there, which that would have been dog shit in and of itself, but to throw the flag, discuss it, and then you know, pick up the flag just makes it 10 times worse. Just a horseshit officiating game, and cost at least 21 points. I think because that 7 points right there.
Okay.
I think
very bold.
The call on Josh Jackson was pretty bullshit.
And
I think the call on Jair was pretty weak too. Yeah, you could probably make that argument. But if you're going to call that, how is the Tonyan one not?
That's what I was going to say, because I'm fine with not calling Tonyan on that, the pass interference there. Mm. But if you do that, then you have to, you know, you have to look past the Justin Jefferson one on Jair too, because they're pretty much the same play. If you know, as long as you're consistent, even if you're throwing a bunch of flags, then I can somehow wrap my mind around it. But when you're kind of going back and forth on this, all it does is piss you off and wonder what they're seeing. I don't know. There was so many holding calls too.
Yeah, like a lot of drive killers. I think he had back to back holding calls resulted in a first and 30. That just kills the drive.
And we talked about it for the third touchdown to Davante Adams, which we'll get into. You couldn't even enjoy the play, because immediately after you see, you know, the laundry on the field, see the flag, and it's like, wait a second. Yep. Oh, wait, it's probably not a touchdown. Sure enough, it is, but you weren't able to enjoy that part of the game.
It's like, oh, sweet. All right.
Yep.
Touchdown.
Speaking of anticlimactic, I will get to the last pick six play, the final actual play of the game. Fourth quarter, 12 seconds left, 28-22, which was the final. Rodgers rolls out and is sacked, fumbled, game is over. That's it. That's all she wrote.
Everyone was thinking the exact same thing when they saw him, you know, kind of wind up like that. Or it's like, are we going to see
a yeet?
Another one, some more magic. Like,
yeah.
Again, we've been so spoiled with his ability to do that. Like, holy shit, it's happening again. And yeah, again, just anticlimactic as hell.
Well, it almost got close to like the first Hail Mary he had, because I believe the play before was kind of close to that, where he got hit and there was a penalty, so he got to do it again. Mm. And then he had the Hail Mary. So we got kind of close there. They almost called it back, but yeah. Very sad game, very sad ending.
And I, like you mentioned too, so apparently it's arm going forward, not hand. Because you could absolutely make the argument that,
well,
I mean, a biased Packer fan could absolutely make the argument that his arm or his hand was going forward, and that's technically a pass attempt. But
I didn't think of it until now, but it's like you could break it down. It's like, okay, apparently the rule is arm moving forward. It's like, okay, maybe the arm wasn't really moving forward. And it's like, okay, let's go closer. Hand moving forward. Okay, I think the hand was moving forward. And then it's like, were the fingers moving forward? Exactly. I'm like, yes, yes, they absolutely were. It's a forward pass. Come on, isn't that the rule? But that is not how it went. Anticlimactic ending. Very sad game. Let's just hop right into Aaron Rodgers, the offense breakdown. Aaron Rodgers had a game, 27 for 41, 291 yards. Three touchdowns, all of which to Davante Adams. I mean,
I think he had a borderline great game. I really do. And this leads me to where I've been stewing over this for whatever, 48, 50 hours now, where I am so sick and tired of Aaron Rodgers having to play absolutely perfect to win a lot of ball games. I am so tired of it. He played great. He made a bunch of sick throws. There was some crazy drops. The only really miss I can think is that Sternberger one over the middle. That is it.
Yeah, I mean, people were getting on him for not leading Tani in a bit. Both you and I agreed that watching it live, I was fine with just him making the catch.
I don't understand why that throw is getting criticized too, as if he should have hit him in stride. Like, that's a 50-yard bomb. Like, I mean, that's a tough throw to make, and he still made the throw.
When you just look across the sideline and you see Kirk Cousins only had 14 attempts and Rodgers had freaking 41, you know, it lets you know that he can play in the elements when needed and it was good enough. But even still, in these games where we're maybe not as productive, you know, we only put up 22 points, which is pretty low for this team. It's like you just look at Davante Adams' stat line and kind of just, you know, maximize that. And it's like, oh, okay, that's what Rodgers' game was. It was pretty much Devontae and then some other stuff along
the way. Tight ends, yep.
Yeah, but yeah, and other than that, other thing I'd say is positive here, real positive. On the sideline, seeing Rodgers on the sideline, I like the sideline hat this year. Usually the hats are pretty bad, especially the cap is bad most years. It's just a really stupid design because I think they've done everything. But I like the wool cap this year. It's got the GB sewn in on top, and then it's got the patch in the middle too.
I'm trying to recall it, but I'm drawing a blank. I'm just so...
Are you thinking about things that actually matter, Kyle?
Yes.
Like, oh, okay.
Rodgers, he played great, and he has to play perfect always.
Yeah.
To have a chance. And it's just like he's never allowed to have a somewhat bad... Like, if he has a bad game, like in Tampa Bay, they get fucking pumped. Mm-hmm. They get destroyed. Yeah. He's not allowed to have a bad game. It's so exhausting.
And it, yeah. With this game, too, it sucks because you look back as we, once again, like the week before, had those three drives where we didn't do anything, you know? And when you look at it this week, it was because of the holding calls on Elgton Jenkins, yep, the holding calls on Mercedes Lewis, and the drops from EQ. It's like, you can only do so much. And that's, once again, when we've been preaching it as long as we have had the podcast, this offense, just don't make the stupid mistakes and we're going to be good. Mm-hmm. If we don't make the stupid mistakes in this game, you know, we're getting a W. Moving on, sticking with it through the air, Davante Adams, solid game, 7 catches, 57 yards, all 3 touchdowns.
That third touchdown, oh my God, so sick.
Couldn't enjoy it.
Yeah, again, yeah, I couldn't because the laundry, but the throw was unbelievable. The catch was unbelievable.
It was one
God,
of those.
I love those too.
In the air, you're like, is this gonna be in bounds? And you're like, oh shit, yes it is. Hello, nice catch there, Devontae. And the second, I mean, it's just, we say it every week, the most ho-hum, you know, overlooked star superstar in this league. I mean, just the way he caught the second touchdown, catches it just you know,
it's just like
tosses routine. It to the ref, routine, runs to the sideline. It's like, it's just another day at the office. Over the last 2 weeks, he's obviously got 5 touchdowns. You know, going into this week, the leading, it might be different by now, but going into the week, the most touchdowns in the league was 7, and he had 5 in 2 weeks. So, you know, it's very easy to just look at that.
Yeah,
stuff.
I forgot what I was going to say. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Oh, No, this is what I was going to say.
Oh, okay, good.
It's time, like, I hate having to clarify my bias, but I don't even think this is bias, but, like, he is now, I believe, firmly into the discussion for the best wide receiver in the league.
Yeah, especially with Thomas
like
not
on
playing.
The national level, yeah. He's not going to be in that conversation yet, but he absolutely needs to be.
It's funny because you can't have that conversation because, one, Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. Yep. He's the face of the franchise. Two, you can't talk about how good Davante Adams is and also bitch about the lack of receiving weapons on the Packers. So the national media doesn't really know what to do. But when, you know, Julio Jones is on a struggling Falcons team like usual, Michael Thomas isn't playing very much, Tyreek Hill is
DeAndre
kind of,
Hopkins.
You know, yeah, DeAndre Hopkins. He's just, Adams is so damn consistent. It's tough to, he doesn't have usually those huge, huge games. He has a couple of times this year, but that's the thing that kind of breaks it down.
And if you're, you know, grudge listening to this, which I respect, like you're a Vikings fan who's like wants to hear us be miserable. Mm-hmm. I respect that a lot. I would do the same.
Absolutely.
I implore you, and you disagree, I implore you to go look at his stats when he had to do that stretch with Brett Hundley. It was really no drop off for what his
That's
floor
true.
Is. So.
That's very true. Yeah, that was the passing of the torch season from Jordy to Devontae too, which is weird to look back on. But yeah, sticking with the receivers, I mean, God, it's tough to even like pick your poison. Which receiver do you want to talk about next, Kyle?
Let's just get it over with. EQ.
Okay, EQ, Kyle and I, yeah, I think we talked about
mentioned
it there a little
already,
bit.
Two horrendous drops that cut the game to one possession, and it's a whole different ball game if he can just reel it in.
It is nice that he bounced back on that next series and had the third down pickup. Once again, not a very easy catch, but he made it. But yeah, we talked about it a little bit there too. We kind of got into it last week a little bit talking about EQ and MVS getting snaps when I was thinking Malik Taylor should probably get them. Once again, it's just like we've seen MVS and EQ make these mistakes. We haven't seen it from Malik yet. And I mean, we'll just move over to him. Malik Taylor, the one catch for 26 yards. He didn't
nice
get many
catch.
Snaps. But yeah, I mean, once
nice
again.
Nice ball too, once just, again.
Just play mistake free, get what's there, and that's all he did. Not much else you can say. MVS, no drops. He had the pass interference call in the end zone.
Yeah, I believe he caught his only target.
Yep, caught his only actual target.
Which was a nice catch, too.
Yeah, on third down, too, 19 yards. It's almost like it's like an up and down type thing where, yeah, he didn't drop any balls. He didn't really make any mistakes. I kind of bitched to you where even on the pass interference, it's like if MVS will never make a catch while being interfered with, you know, because once he's interfered with, he just throws his hands up and the play's essentially over on that side of the ball. And you just got to pick up the laundry after that.
And I kind of went to bat for him a little bit. And I mean, he did kind of get tackled in the end zone. So it's hard, but there is some credibility to your claim there for sure.
And it's back and forth, but it's, you know, kind of like out of sight, out of mind, where he didn't have those drops, but at the same time, I mean, shoot, the Vikings by the end of the game were down their top four corners. And like you said, MVS only had the one target. It's like, you got to be getting open if you're getting these snaps and going against, you know, plumbers essentially.
Exactly.
In the secondary. I don't know. I don't get it. But yeah, that's
tough. And we'll get to it here. But yeah, the outside of Davante Adams, the receiving core is just in very rough shape. And it's just very puzzling that as of 3 p.m. today, nothing was done to appease that.
We'll get into that later, and we'll also get into, well, shit, we'll just talk about it now. I don't know. I think people, all the hubbub about getting pissed about the weapons Alan Lazard might be back this week. We're kind of overlooking that, and if he's back, that's going to ease it a little bit. No one's really talked about that too much, but he practiced all of last week, practiced a little bit before that.
I don't know why. I guess I'm so flustered over EQ and MVS that, I actually completely overlooked Lazard. So, yeah, that actually perks me up a little bit. Thanks, Spence.
Perfect. Yeah, moving on, and you know, we can keep a little positive here now too. Tight ends, Robert Tonyan, 5 catches, 79 yards. Pretty solid game.
He's turned into such a great security blanket for 12. Mm-hmm. And you can tell 12 loves him. He praises him so highly in his post-game pressers, and Tanyan, yeah, he really doesn't make many mistakes.
Yeah, very, very, very rarely. And he makes those difficult catches just about every time. I love this. I look back. JerMichael Finley tweeted.
Tanyan.
God, yeah, what, we'll see.
I keep doing it too.
It's funny how we have that this year with Tanyan. Last year we had the whole Amos thing, and everyone just keeps calling him Amos.
And
nobody
the year
cares
before that was Tarod Taylor.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's Jared Boykin's buddy. Yeah, that's what you were going to say. But JerMichael Finley tweeted this out. I thought this was hilarious. He puts this out. Did 85 show up to the game today? Hashtag Packers. Someone tweeted him. He has 3 catches for 57 yards so far. So, yeah.
Like, he's here.
Once again, dumb former Packer of the week, JerMichael Finley. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no complaints about Robert Tanyan. Moving on, Jay Sternberger.
Yeah, nice hands catch on that first drive.
In actual fourth and game, one. A game where he did more than just, you know, catch a short touchdown pass. The 3 catches, 46 yards. You know, Rodgers missed him on the one, but no real complaints. You know, he's not much of a burner, but especially towards the end there, towards the end of the game, going from right to left towards the end, he had a good-looking catch. You know, he's got number 87. He looked kind of like Jordy, just a very natural. He's starting to look like an NFL, you know, pass catcher, which we haven't seen too much of.
And you're kind of the whole hold your breath when he gets a target is kind of going away.
Yeah, slowly but surely. Moving on, much more negative, Big Dog. No catches. He had the 2 holding calls.
Yeah.
Nothing too
I think
fun
on
there.
One of them, though, Rodgers went to bat for him. And I think he gave the ref a nice F-bomb and was like, he didn't let go of him.
I forgot
and,
about
you know,
that.
Yelled right in his face. And that I forgot to mention, too. Rodgers pressers to me now are like appointment viewing because he always makes me feel better after a loss. You know, he's never too high, never too low. And he went pretty hard after the refs this year. He mentioned a few calls, one being in the last possession of the game to Tanyan, that catch on the sideline.
Yep.
They face masked him. He thought that should have been called. And yeah, the same with the Mercedes holding.
Well, I think Matt LaFleur yesterday, actually, someone asked him about the Robert Tanyan no call and if they submitted that to the league for review. And Matt replied with something along the lines of, yeah, I assume that's in the bunch of, you know, the handful of plays that we
really
saw
in the bunch. Yeah, it was a bushel of bad calls.
He didn't exactly say that, but it was along those lines where obviously
of like, yeah, don't worry. We have a whole, you know, mixtape of calls to send to him.
Moving on, the offensive line, not a ton to say here. I mean, shoot. Well, actually, where am I going? We skipped right over the running backs.
Yeah.
Running backs, Jamal Williams, 16 carries, 75 yards, 4.7 yards per carry. Also had 6 catches for 27 yards.
Again, another just great game that out of Jamal Williams. Just can't say enough positive things. He did his job, and again, it's the same. Like I mentioned last week, I think he only bounced one run outside, and the one run was a pickup of 9. So he runs between the guards. He knows his assignment. He does his job well, and then when it's off script, he knows how to figure that out too.
It was one of those games where you kind of forgot about it, but you know, we get to the fourth quarter, and it wasn't until after the game. It's like, shoot, we probably should have stuck with the run a little bit more, especially with how the third quarter went. When, I mean, the Vikings scored their last touchdown in the third quarter, and we weren't able to do really much of anything after that. It's once again eliminating those mistakes. When you're running the ball, it's harder to make mistakes for the most
exactly.
Part.
However, with that being said, the 2nd and 10 runs,
get
rid of it.
Yeah,
burn it in a hot fire. Get it out of here.
Well,
2nd and 10 runs is like it. Well, it's a waste of a down.
That's true, but I get stuck in my head then because it turns into something that we always got on Mike McCarthy about was running it on first down. And it's like, okay, well then if you pass it on first down, it's incomplete. You can't run it on second down or else you're going
to
be pissed.
Oh,
so it's
no.
Kind of
so
forth.
Then you have to put one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time into their hands and he has to make the throw. Oh, shucks. Like, come on.
Well,
what are we doing here?
Well, we had that. But it's not putting the ball in Rodgers' hands. It's trying to put the ball from his hands to the receiver's hands. Which
true.
We,
but it's going to be as accurate as a handoff most of the time.
That's fair. But at the same time, we had the Tyler Irvin drive, which started off with what should have been a handoff dropped.
Yep.
And then the little screen thing. Dropped, which would have been a negative play anyway. So, you know, it's kind of it's a bit of a back and
the
forth,
bottom line is second and 10 runs, yes. Get rid of it.
Yes, and the third and 10 screen passes to Devontae, which worked last week. You know, lightning doesn't strike twice.
Yeah.
A.J. Dillon had a solid game. Oh, hey, did we mention that?
I don't know about solid, but...
Yeah, he had a very
pedestrian game.
Well, I would say this. It was his most positive game of the year, and that's for two reasons. Because, you know, he had the 4.2 yards per carry, one catch, 16 yards.
And he had a catch!
And he caught COVID before the game. Right. Yeah, yeah.
So he can catch. Ayo.
Yeah, so we'll have to monitor that.
However, though, no, I will give him credit. That his one catch was a great play, I thought. He was a nice hands catch, yep. And he kind of... He shed a tackle, was off balance, and kept himself up with his with you know, sticking his hand in the ground and danced right along the sideline, picked up the first down. So that was a nice highlight for him.
He's looked a little clunky early on in the first few games, and this is the first game where he got a little bit smoother, you know, especially there, very smooth, you know, cutting up mm-hmm. field and all that. And it's something if you create a player in Madden, a running back, it is this guy. He's just so thick, so chunk. He's like 2008 Michael Turner.
Ooh,
you know,
that's great.
That's what he looks like.
I don't know if it's hesitation or if it's patience when he's hitting the hole. Because he's not, you know, with him being so chonky and thick, you would think he should just, you know, bulldoze right through the line and hit it full steam ahead. But I don't know, on some of his runs, he seems to kind of pitter-patter a little bit. And again, I don't know if it's hesitation or if it's just patience trying to find the hole. But, you know, he only had 5 carries. He will have plenty of carries in the future in
true.
The green and gold. So,
yeah.
Still holding out hope.
Yeah. No, of all our draft picks this year, I guess sans Kamal Martin, he's been pretty, I don't know, looking forward to seeing him.
Imagine the tight end room if the Messiah was still.
Yeah. God, I do want to think of that. But yeah, okay. I guess talk about Chonk. Stick with the chunk, the offensive line. I don't know. I don't know what to say about this game. Elton Jenkins, the holding calls.
Very uncharacteristic Elton Jenkins
game. I don't know if that's even true, though, because if someone on the last year, David Bakhtiari, got a lot of holding calls. This year, Elton Jenkins is getting quite a few.
He didn't have a single holding call last year, though. Not a single one.
Right, which is weird, because this year, if someone's getting a holding call, it seems to be him, which is weird from the guard position, too. You know, usually a hold comes from tackle. But
especially when, like, Who is even on that Minnesota D line?
We didn't know last week after the game. I still don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Odenebo, I think, is the only one I can name.
Yeah. We had Billy Turner, Rick Wagner out there. I guess they did well enough. I mean,
Wagner could have just held his block a little bit longer on that last play, but that's tough.
Like, it's a tough play when Rodgers is going all the way.
I mean, that's
the line of scrimmage.
That's a 7-8 second block. So you know you can't expect much more, but you wish you would have got more.
Yeah, Lucas Patrick was fine, and Corey Linsley is still graded out as like the best center in football right now. Pretty good for him with the contract year, and we'll have to see what happens with that going forward. But yeah, I mean, that's it for. For the breaking down the offense, 22 points, not exactly what we were expecting.
But again, with two freaking drives in the first half, it's weird. It's a weird game.
And hey, if nothing else, we still have, you know, points in every single drive, first drive this year. So
yes.
we'll hang our hat on that. But with that, we will have a quick commercial break.
Are you going inside a public building? Have you developed a double chin that you want to hide out in public? Have you finally decided to wear a mask after being the star in one too many public freakout videos? Sounds like you could use a homemade cloth mask. 26hats.com makes some of the best cloth masks around. Check out the website to see what styles are available. Each mask is handmade using hands to make them. There's no better way to represent the state of Wisconsin while also making yourself less contagious than wearing one of these masks. For custom koozies, book covers, and face coverings, visit 26hats.com today.
And we are back with the defense. Really bad game from the defense. 28 points is what they let up against Kirk Cousins and a bunch of bums.
14 pass attempts.
There you go, Kyle. Yeah, see, that's...
14.
Yeah, I like 14. The stick is back.
You think... Is there a better formula for a make Kirk Cousins beat you type of game than in Lambeau, Dalvin Cook is returned healthy, and the winds are 30 miles per hour? Is there a more perfect formula to say, hey, we are going to load the box, send the house to stop the run, and make Kirk Cousins make tough throws?
Well,
what? Okay, yes, we're okay. Gonna get to the missed tackles, and there was plenty of them.
You don't know what I was gonna say,
but 14 pass attempts. Mm-hmm. He didn't attempt the throw more than 8 yards at least, and that was in the first quarter.
Yeah, three of the he was 11 for 14, 160 yards, 50 of them come on one play, and the one touchdown. It's and after the game and even during the game, if you would have told me, you know, anywhere from 5 to 14 attempts, I guess I would have believed you, because I do not remember Kirk Cousins playing this game.
No, not that what makes it so terrible. Like, that's a notch in Kirk's belt, and he did not a fucking thing.
Yeah, I guess it's, and you kind of talked about it there too, where you said all you have to do is load the box and stop Dalvin. Tom Silverstein and Jim Ossorski, they talked about it on their podcast this week, and Tom brings up a good point, and we've mentioned it before, because Pettine plays so much nickel. Our base is nickel, that when we actually went to our base, Tom was saying that this team doesn't know how to play. And honestly, when you have two young inside linebackers, it really shows. When you have a defensive line that, you know, could be a little bit better, probably, but we've got the two inside linebackers that are kind of guessing when it comes to shooting the gaps at times.
I think that comes down to coaching. I even think some of this, like, as stupid as this sounds, nope, I seriously think some of this missed tackling can come down to coaching, where it's like, yeah, knowing your assignment and knowing, yeah, your gap responsibility, whatever. I'm not going to pretend I know what the hell goes into, yeah, you know, a defensive scheme, but like, it's 3 years in a row now where, yeah, they're bad tacklers and they're, you know, just getting embarrassed in open space. It's just like,
well, you say 3 years now. You almost have to go back to 2018 and like take off the, you know, green shades to look at that defense, because the offense and everything was just so bad and so all over the place that just an okay defense looked really, really good and got us, mm-hmm, excited for 2019 with LaFleur and Pettine. But we've kind of, you know, backstepped.
Like, I don't understand having the DBs be 9, the safeties, yeah, be, you know, 14 yards off the ball. Like, why don't just condense everything and literally show Kirk, like, hey, like, everyone is right here. Go ahead and sling it and beat us.
Well, okay. I guess
I don't get it.
I think we're getting too big picture here. You know, we are pissed off, but we need to start looking back how we usually do it, breaking it down. Come on, Kyle. Deep breath here. Okay, I did. Okay. Your exhale was A+. Your inhale was C-.
I'm still not calm.
But looking at the individuals, hey, okay, Jake Morley tweeted this out. The PFF grades the top players on defense. Number one, Kenny Clark with a 69.5.
Nice.
After that, Adrian Amos, 68. Montrevious Adams, 63. Oren Burks, 63. Preston Smith, 61. He also notes on here. Worth noting, these were the only non-below average scores on the defense. So,
jeez.
I guess
Amos showed up. He had a good game.
Yeah, he showed up. We'll get to him. Starting off with how we always start off the defense as far as individuals go. Jair Alexander, once again, very, very solid game.
The one lone bright spot of that, yeah, defense right now.
Yep. While matched up against Justin Jefferson, who's going to be the Vikings wide receiver of the future, he only allowed the one reception for 12 yards. He did get called for that pass interference, but you can't really complain too much.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, it's probably PI, but I'm not really sure what Jair was doing there, kind of doing all that hand fighting, but it was a not catchable ball, and yeah, I think if that doesn't get called, very different game.
Depending on what they do on fourth down, because, I mean, shit, if on fourth down, if they go for it and run a screen pass,
yeah, they probably walk in.
Probably gonna get it. Another thing noting with Jair and Justin Jefferson, it's nice seeing the rookie wide receivers come into Lambeau. I mean, shoot, it was like 35, 40 degrees, and he still had like a full, like, you couldn't see Justin Jefferson's face because he was so concentrated on the cold,
oh, yeah,
trying to stay warm. Love seeing
welcome
that
to
from
the
you
league.
Guys. Yeah, welcome. I don't know where else you want to go from there.
Like, we can't even, there's really no really other corners to talk about. You want to know why?
Why?
14.
Oh, that's right.
14. Pass attempts.
Yeah, you can pretty much only talk about them missing tackles, yep, for the most part. I mean, Shandon Sullivan, can't remember him doing too much on the game. You know, I'm sure he missed some tackles too. Josh Jackson, he once again, I mean, Kevin King obviously didn't play, but he showed again why he isn't getting these snaps, because he's so damn handsy. You said it wasn't a good call. I thought it was. I was completely fine with the pass interference.
Yeah, I think PI is a bad call. I think you could make the argument for holding or illegal contact, which again that makes their play, because then with the PI they were on the 1 yard line.
But either way, it was going to be a first. And I think
if it was holding or illegal contact, they're on, you know, the 6 yard line. Which I mean, with how the run defense is, not like that makes a huge difference, but you never know.
Yeah, not the best game from the secondary. I mean, we'll kind of just look past everyone else.
Savage.
So yeah, moving on to safety. You want to start bad or you want to start good?
You were early on this train, and I was on the, you know, remains to be seen watch, but yeah, we're teetering like one of those meters. It's going to the red. I was in the yellow. It's slowly getting to the red with Savage.
Yeah, it's in the meter, you know, on the right side, it's Nick Collins. On the left side, it's HaHa Clinton Dix. And you know, he started off right away. That arm was going right to Nick Collins, you know, against the Bears last year, week one. But now it is getting pretty close to that HaHa Clinton Dix, who is not even playing in the league anymore. But yeah, I don't know. He's just so bad at tackling. He has this speed, but he doesn't know how to use it. He's almost nothing in the run game. It really makes you question, like you said, and we don't want to get into it, but like, how does this team practice tackling? And I hate it because this is like dumb fan speak when you say that stuff, but my God.
I mentioned to you, Lo, that like, it's the NFL. Like, do they really need to practice tackling? Like, these are professionals. And again, I think I'm a, you know, self-proclaimed water carrier for players over, you know, over like staff or organization. And like, I think it can come down to just the culture and the coaching and the scheme. I don't know, because it's been a problem for 3 years now under Pettine.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, you look at just the culture, like you said, Dom Capers was a guy who was always up in the box. Pettine, he started off that way, and now he is on the sideline, but he's not a guy that gets anyone motivated. Once again, it's one of those stupid fan things, but it's like,
no,
you need,
it's not, though.
We don't have any type of energy on this defense when it's not playing well. No one's yelling. I mean,
and I think of the guy in San Fran, Saleh. That dude loves football.
And he's
that
bald.
Guy, that dude would suit up if he could. Like, when his D gets a stop, he's basically on the field, you know, yelling and hooting and hollering and giving the energy. And Pettine is just kind of like, crossed arms,
exactly,
smudge face, like
sunglasses,
and it's like he's not even like a hard ass, he's just like passive, playing 16 yards off the ball. So it's like there's no energy to feed off of for the defense.
For someone who looks like Stone Cold, you have to have more energy on the sideline,
or be a much more hard ass, and like someone where you look at and you get a little intimidated.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. Okay, pause now. We gotta pause dumb fan speak for a little bit there. Okay, back to the players. Adrian Amos, hey, he had a pretty good game,
and
it's bad that the bar you set for having a good game on defense the way it's been the last couple of weeks is he looked like he cared.
Yeah.
That was it. A lot of people said that. I think Nagler said that too, but it's true. I mean, we had the third down, which was the seventh biggest play we had. He had a third down stop where he just ran. I mean, he was unblocked, but he stopped Dalvin behind the line, which got us the ball back late. But I mean, geez, it's like he's the only guy in the secondary, and God, you can't even count on him that much, because he takes bad angles just as much as anyone else. I don't know, not very fun. Will Redmond, we talked about him a little bit there. He's almost, God, it's like, which bad do we want? Because because he almost had one of the better games from the safety position, because he's more of a sound player. But God, like we talked
now
about,
that I'm even thinking about it, was Raven Green even active?
He did get hurt. I can't remember when he got hurt, but he did get hurt and didn't come back. Scott too, he got hurt.
Scott both on multiple plays, just cinder block feet where they're just like frozen in time, and like then they just launch when the running back is 2 yards past them already.
Once again, Henry Black, he had one of those games too where I know he had a missed tackle. I don't remember exactly which play it was on. So
there's so many of them.
Inside linebacker, once again, a tough spot here. I don't know. I still really, really like Kamal Martin, and I really like Chris Barnes, but it's like, you get to that point, and I'm a dumb fan, but it's like they're actually shooting the gap, which is something that we wouldn't see much from Blake Martinez. But it's like every time we do it, it's either, you know, a huge play, which Kamal has had a couple of those big, you know, hits right down the middle, But then there's other times where they just run free into nothing and Dalvin's, you know, 10 yards already past the line of scrimmage.
Again, I don't think it's something where they're going off assignment and doing that. I think they're simply doing their assignment that Pettine is assigning to them.
Yeah. And it,
and I just feel like a lot of these problems can just be traced back to coaching. I'm a believer in that. I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
But
there you go. Soundbite.
I really believe like a lot of the problems can just be rooted back to that.
It sucks because it's like, okay, yeah, ooh, be aggressive, shoot the gap. Oh, we missed. Shit, it's a first down. But then, you know, last year was, okay, I want them to shoot the gap, but instead we're staying back, playing it safe, and they're running into Blake Martinez for 5 yards. And it's like, shit, which one do I want? Because they both suck. You know? Yeah. Deep sigh. Outside linebacker. We had a couple players play there. Not much for notes. Za'Darius played. Preston played. Gary played.
Back to pedestrian Smith.
Yeah, I had an early note because, you know, Delvin Cook had the fumble that was called back because his, you know, arm, I guess, hit the ground before the ball came out, whatever. But Preston Smith with the definite yoink, just one hand picking up the ball, and that was about the only play he made all game.
He looks like a loaf out there, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
He's loafing a lot, and that screen cap is just hilarious. And again.
Yeah, fuck it. Well, you got to explain it. It's a podcast.
He's split out wide as a corner. Yeah. I mean, I'm fumbling over myself. It's so inexplicable. And he's 9 yards off the ball, like lined up as a corner. Like, what the hell? It's like, yeah, oh, they were probably in, you know, man coverage, whatever, and that was his assignment or whatever. But like, no, like shouldn't like somewhere in the process be like, wait, no, this isn't right. Let's get, you know, Barnes or Martin out there just to, because yeah, obviously you need someone, you know, over him to just kind of be a body there, otherwise it's a quick whatever. But to lug Preston out there, yeah, just again,
it's weird because we've seen it so much this year where he's going back in coverage, and I'm sure it's happened in the past too, but it's like, why, you know, we're asking for the defense to evolve, and it seems like we're evolving in a bad way because we're seeing Preston Smith in coverage more than ever now, and it, or at least it feels like it, and it's just what are we doing. I mean, Za'Darius Smith, we were talking about like the energy thing and the defensive coordinator, you know, something to get the guys going. And Za'Darius, he's awesome. He's awesome when the team is doing well and the defense is doing well. But when they're not, it seems like we just kind of wither away and disappear.
Yep. The formula is very obvious and clearly written to beat this Packers defense. And that is to just punch the defense in the mouth and run the ball. Like, it's you know who likes to run the ball? The Seattle Seahawks. You know who likes to run the ball? Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah. You know who likes to run the ball? New Orleans Saints.
Yeah. Well,
the formula's written.
Yeah, and speaking of running the ball, defensive line, I'll start with another positive. Hey, Dean Lowry had that that sack on Kirk Cousins. Kind of a broken play. You know, he was unblocked.
Free reign.
Yep, his first sack since signing that big contract. Well, decent contract last year. I mean, he's a defensive lineman. He can't expect it, but sheesh. Kenny Clark had an okay game, but I mean, there isn't much to talk about at this point. I mean, shoot, we've already talked long enough about the defense. That's it for the defense, but we'll be right back with more of the defense. Okay, more free talk in here. This is, we're going to call it, what were we calling this again with Gatekeeper? Yeah, Gatekeeper Packer People of the Week.
Gatekeeping Packer Fan of the Week.
Yeah, well, I don't think he's a fan, and I think, shoot, we ran so long, we're only going to have this one, but someone who is also in the podcast realm, Peter Bukowski, tweeted this out after the game. Here is a new rule. Great way to start a tweet. Great way to start a tweet there, Peter. Here is a new rule.
Yeah.
If you can't explain the scheme was or should have been other than different slash better, you don't get to say it was bad. Kyle, thoughts?
Now, this has nothing to do with me just spending 20 minutes doing that exact thing. Yeah. Like, I don't know the scheme.
Literally.
But I was calling it bad. But I really hate that shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
The condescension, the arrogance, the pretentious. Oh, dude. Ooh, it boils my blood.
Peter is, and once again,
like, who are you to say what people talk about?
I don't mean ill will here, but he is my least favorite person on Twitter as far as the Packers are concerned. Well, okay, Michael Rodney is actually number one.
Yeah.
But Peter, it's just so smug with so many of these tweets, just the way he leads in so many of them. I don't know.
I'm a believer where like it's fine to like have that opinion and be frustrated over that.
Yep.
But I don't like the way it's presented, which in a way, I guess I'm kind of gatekeeping in a way, but the way it's presented, it should be like, you shouldn't talk about if blah, 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 not you should not, or I mean, you don't get to base. I don't know. It's, I'm rambling, but
yeah, it's, I need some, if you're going to talk to me that way, you know, don't just shove it down my throat. Put a little whipped cream with a cherry on top. Yeah. Like, this is not, you know,
and polish the turd a little
bit. Andy Herman's a little bit better at it. Overall, very much enjoy Andy. He's very informed. He knows what he's talking about. But sometimes it's more of this clickbaity stuff. But you can, you know, I like hearing that from other people. But from Peter, it's like, God, come on, man. It's, you know, and we just talked about it more than we should have there. But it's like, okay, I know I don't know the ins and outs, the X's and O's of the scheme. But I can look at a third and long and see all the guys at the line of scrimmage and say, the first down line, I should say, and point and say, I don't like this.
Or the third and two, where they're 12 yards off the ball. It's like,
I don't like this. Seeing Preston Smith covering someone, you know,
out wide.
I don't like this.
Like, it's, yeah, exactly. Like, the most casual fan can look at that and be like,
I don't
like
this.
That's bad. And like, so that person is not entitled to say that's bad then?
It is weird because it's what we've talked about too. It's this defense is fine until it isn't fine. You look at overall for the season. So the Packers are 20th in points per game, allowing 26.7, which is a little less, you know, a little worse than average. And our rushing defense too, rushing yards per game, we're 15th in the league, which a lot of it is because, especially early on, getting ahead to such an early lead in these games. Yep. But my God, it's like, it isn't a problem until it's the only problem, which I've said before. And here, you know, here's a fun little stat. This is from Packers Realm, apparently. In the past year, the Packers have allowed 200 total yards and 4 touchdowns to Raheem Mostert and Dalvin Cook. The rest of the NFL has allowed one of these games since 2015, and that was Derrick Henry.
So, yeah, like I already said, like, a silver lining here is that this game was the 2019 NFC Championship.
Yeah.
So now hopefully it's like, okay, like, it happened again, guys.
And come on.
We're very susceptible for it happening again. So let's maybe do something about it. But yeah, it's very worrisome that the formula is so clear cut. And especially with Kyle Shanahan on deck and his, you know, complex and very unique running schemes, could get very scary.
Even in 2018, it was a scary game against Nick Mullins in Lambeau. You know, Mike McCarthy was still head coach, but we ended up eking out that game. But we really shouldn't, because Shanahan knows how to drop an offense when we don't seem to know how to drop a defense. Mm-hmm. Here's a nice little tidbit here from Ben Fennell. Packers defense currently using press coverage on 53.8% of third down snaps, 31st in the NFL. Throws this in there too. On third down yards per attempt, press coverage overall in the league, 5.69 is allowed per play. No press coverage, 8.43. So that's kind of what we're getting at. Not exactly scheme, but it's, hey,
with one of the best cornerbacks in the association.
Yeah, and something that has been talked about so much, I know Rodgers has talked about it, LaFleur has talked about it, and Mike Pettine has talked about it, is complementary football. And it's pretty much how Pettine runs this team. I mean, shoot, 2 weeks ago we had the whole fire Pettine episode. This is essentially the same thing. But it's like, my God, I don't know. So complimentary football, apparently for him, is sitting back, you know, let them run the ball, and we'll try to stop the
chip,
big plays.
Chip,
for the most part, we do stop the big plays, which had been a problem in the past under Dom Capers. Sure, fine. But it's complimentary football, relying solely on Aaron Rodgers on the offense, putting up 30 points a week, you know, and that's what it's been, which is stupid, because if that's what your complimentary football is, why do you need a defensive coordinator? You know, it doesn't make any sense. And it hurts even more when you look back at why Mike Pettine is Mike Pettine, is the defense that he brought to the New York Jets back in the day. Kyle, do you remember who the quarterback was for the Jets back when Mike Pettine was in his prime and a great defensive coordinator?
Mark Sanchez.
What the fuck kind of complimentary football are, if you're going to preach that when your defense was at its best with Mark Sanchez, and you knew going into the game, you had to have an actual scheme, an actual defense. You could not allow more than, I don't know what, 25, 20 points a game if you wanted to win it, because you had fucking Mark Sanchez as your quarterback. can we just like hypnotize Mike Pettine and make him think that Aaron Rodgers is Mark Sanchez so he could come up with something more creative to stop this fucking bleeding that seems to occur every single week? I do not understand it. I am mad. My face is probably red. I am sick. I am sick of
Bravo,
my
Bravo, Spence. I have never been prouder to be a host on this podcast. You just went off, King.
I don't get wow. it. Is that enough explaining? Is that enough for you, Peter Bukowski? I mean that is as broad as possible. It's no X's and O's, but my God, just come on, do something. I'm so sad. It's the same song and dance. And for 15 years now, I keep saying this, for 15 years, this is the same. This team is the same team that won the Super Bowl. It's the same team that has lost, like, in the first round of the playoffs. It's we try to make the playoffs, but if we go up against any type of offense and they destroy us, I mean, that's just what happens.
Rodgers has to play superhuman.
Exactly. In the games where Rodgers isn't a superhuman, we lose.
Pumped. Yeah. That's the formula. Rodgers needs to be superhuman, and that's our best chance.
That's it. And we said it last year after the Niners game, the NFC Championship game. It's like we know what the outcome of the season is going to be unless we make some type of change. And it seems like that's not going to happen, but... who knows? But maybe something more fun. Hey, next up, is Kyle an idiot?
I'm not an idiot.
Okay. You sure?
Yes.
All right. Returning once again for this week, because we have it every week, is Kyle an idiot? Kyle, you're having a phenomenal season.
Phenomenal.
You have proven that you are not an idiot thus far. You were 19, 13, and 1.
Mm.
Kyle, are you ready for your questions?
Yes.
All right. Jay Sternberger on Sunday had 46 yards. Did he have more yards on Sunday than he's had the rest of his career?
God. Yeah, that might have been a career high. The way you answered,
did he total career yards, you know, everything before. Did he have more yards before Sunday or... just how many yards he had on Sunday.
Yeah. Sunday was a career high in yards for him.
So, okay. On Sunday, he had 46 yards. The rest of his career, Jace has had 39 yards. So,
oh my God.
He had more yards on Sunday than he had, you know, the rest of his career thus far.
30. Wow. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, he was out for the first half of last year.
Pretty much. Yeah.
But then.
Well, he blocked a lot towards the end. It was weird how he
wasn't his, like, thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we'll see that. Okay. 1-0 so far. Very good, Kyle. Here's your next question. Hey, I wrote this last night. Now it's even more sad. Maybe we'll just get into it here, too. Who was the last player the Packers traded? And I'm saying traded away, because obviously we don't trade four players. Shit.
Traded away.
It was not in the season? Or it might have been kind of at the beginning of the year? It was September or earlier.
I'm going to say Demarius Randall.
Oh, no. No, that's an okay guess.
Damn it.
It was, you're not going to like this. It was Trevor Davis last year.
Oh,
yeah.
It was to the Raiders.
Yeah, because, I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure it was Trevor Davis because we traded him and Gilbert Brown, Reggie Gilbert around the same time.
Yeah,
we got a couple draft Titans picks, which something. Turned into John Runyon and Jason Stipanak, I think. But yes, sorry,
so
Kyle.
So Randall was before... Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was a full year before. But yeah, it makes sense. That was like that was like more of a trade instead of like a training camp cutdown type thing. Okay, 1-1 for the week. Yeah,
your voice cracked
a little bit there, but that's okay.
Puberty.
Looking forward. Okay, the second to last time the Niners embarrassed us in the playoffs was in 2012 against Colin Kaepernick. How did the following season end for the Green Bay Packers?
They lost to Colin Kaepernick.
When?
In Lambeau.
Yeah, in the playoffs. Very good, Kyle.
23-20.
Yep. Wow, that was probably too easy, but very good. 2-1 for the week. Yeah,
like one of the coldest games.
Yeah, an overlooked cold game. That was the game after the Bears, the 4th and 6.
That's right, 4th and 8.
Yep, 4th. Jeez, wow, I can't believe I said 4th and 6. It was 4th and 8. I think I was merging 4th and 26 and 4th and 8 together there.
God.
Yeah, a fun play
so
and
cruel.
A not so fun play. But yeah, still with that game, I still think a little overlooked aspect of that game is the John Kuhn Lambeau leap.
Mm.
He scored in the fourth quarter to go up, runs for the Lambeau leap, and I think everyone's seen that gif. He stumbles and doesn't get up. Everyone's patting him when he's like standing on the ground. And
when you're getting out of a pool, like pulling yourself up.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah, And after that, I think that kind of cursed the Packers.
Yeah.
But, okay.
2-1 though. I've 2-1 like consistently 2-1.
Yeah, it's kind of bad for the brand. But Kyle, right. What is my stump spending question?
This is, I think you'll like this one.
I hope.
It's pretty easy. Should have no issue with this one. And I think you'll know why you'll like this one. But okay. Who is the last?
I hope it's Justin Pirillo. Keep going.
Who is the last quarterback not named Jimmy Garoppolo to start against the Green Bay Packers?
In the playoffs?
No, what last 49ers quarterback not named Jimmy Garoppolo to start against the Packers.
Yeah, it was Nick Mullins, wasn't it?
No, the guy who looks like you.
It was CJ?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
That was the Monday night game.
It was CJ.
He was the starter for that game. Yeah.
Damn it. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
he kind of looks like you.
I know. It's funny because, one, I always say, and people have said, I look like Nick Foles. I look very similar to Nick Foles.
That's a good one, too.
But, yeah, even it's hilarious. I remember it was during pond hockey a couple of years ago. Someone's friend who went to Iowa, actually, and I didn't know her. She was drunk. She kept calling me CJ. She's like, yeah, you look like my friend CJ. Yeah. I was like, who? CJ, you know, CJ Beathard, the quarterback for Iowa. Guys. And I Googled it. I'm like, oh, you're right. And sure enough, it keeps following me somehow, a freaking Iowa quarterback. Damn. Yeah, I look just like him too.
I thought for sure you were going to get that one, no problem.
Well, I guess I forgot because I think the next week after that is when Mullins started playing. And yeah, that's right. I got stuck in my own head there.
It was that 33-30, kind of squeaked it out against a terrible Niners team.
Yeah, see,
so
that,
Mike, that's I so hate Mike.
That. And that's what 2018 sucked because like that game was a win, but just thinking about that game, I get like that like running down my spine because it just sucked watching because we were losing the entire
EQ made a great play in that game at least.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll see more of that going forward. But moving forward to the predictions of the next week. Okay, we're going to, I think it would be remiss if we did not talk about this, but
oh yeah.
A very fun game once again, or very fun day, election day, but more importantly, trade deadline day. Kyle, overall, what are your thoughts? I kind of talked about it early on, how I've had dumb Packer mind since the loss, but how are you?
It's weird. Like I really appreciate and admire the Packers' ability to always be looking ahead, but always stay competitive and a legit contender.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I don't know. I just kind of hit a breaking point today. As soon as 3 o'clock hit, I just like, excuse my language. What the fuck are we doing? Like you look across the league, the Saints get Quan Alexander for pennies.
Yeah.
Another team, I can't remember where Desmond King goes. They get him for pennies. And then Avery Williamson.
Titans. He went to the Titans.
Avery Williamson went to another NFC, the Seahawks. For pennies.
Yeah.
All those legit defensive pieces for fifth and sixth round picks for fucking nothing. And it's just like, what is going on in these conversations? And obviously the big, you know, traction here was Will Fuller. And, you know, I wouldn't have loved if they would have gave up a second. That probably would have been too much.
Yeah.
But to not, you know, like, John Ross even in Cincinnati or AJ Green or just something to where it looks like you're putting in a concerted effort. I can't, like, at some point you need to go all in. Rodgers is 36 years old. He's not getting younger and he's not getting cheaper. Something's got to give, man.
Yeah. And you touch on the cheapness there too. It's kind of like the perfect storm this year, too, where one, we really, really need someone to help, either if it's on, you know, the defensive line
somewhere
or on offense. But on top of it, it's, you know, we're kind of cap strapped right now. And on top of that, with COVID going on, we don't know what the salary cap's going to be like next year. But yeah, I agree with you. If that's the thing, if Houston was strict on the second round pick thing, fine. Okay, I understand it. But God, I wish there were other moves, just something. And I hate it because it's dumb fan speak.
It is.
Just do something I feel better. But it's like, I don't understand where it's like, as soon as the draft or as soon as week one kickoff happens, big moves aren't going to happen. Draft day, it's like, oh, you want a fourth round pick for us to move up to take Jordan Love, who we don't really need? Fine.
Mm-hmm.
But once it's, November, I guess, all of a sudden we have to clutch onto
draft
this
picks,
fourth
draft
round.
Picks.
And I get it. And yeah, Fuller probably would have, you know, $5 million. We couldn't add anyone else after that this year if we did make that trade for Will Fuller. But at the same time, it's like with the compensation, if we sign Will Fuller and he does somehow stay healthy all year, whoever he signs with next year, we're going to get a fourth or third round pick
exactly.
for him. It sucks. And we go back and forth because last year we kind of had this discussion too where we bitched about, well, I was completely fine without trading for Ross or Sanu, which is hilarious to look
yeah.
back at now, and Sanders
yep.
for the Niners. But my God, it's like, once again, and I've said it so many times this episode, it's like the last 15 years we know we're the whole plan is to make the playoffs. And beyond that, who knows? But it's like, can we just do something a little
to
bit
where
more?
It shows everyone involved in the organization that you're make, and especially 12, that you're making an effort to make moves to make your team better, because this team is really good, but they are missing something. And I am self-appointed first team all water carrier for the Green Bay Packers. I talked myself into Jordan Love in 5 minutes
right.
and started defending them in 5 minutes. But I at 3 o'clock today, I just hit a point where it's like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. It's
make a splash, do something like Goody. Let's be honest. Your draft picks have not been stellar so far. Why not give up some of those dart throws that you're not really hitting the board with to get a proven player?
Exactly. 100%. It's tough, but yeah, it's like you got Jair Alexander.
Stud.
And you got J.K. Scott. You know, it's, you know, there's some good pieces, and obviously we don't want to, you know, abandon some of these guys, but it's like Josh Jackson hasn't turned out very well. Rashawn Gary, you know, it's still out there. Savage, who we've talked about now, it's like you got all these question marks, and it's like it would be nice to have these, like we keep saying, like these solid mistake-free players. I don't care what it is, but I mean, even if they traded for Kenny Stills, I would have been fine. I would have been ecstatic
mm-hmm.
if we just traded
something
because
a proven guy who has produced in this league.
Because it isn't even having a superstar. It's swapping out a bad part for
a better one,
for a part, you know, because that's literally what we did at the tight end position. You know, our offense is so much better this year just because we don't have Jimmy Graham, just because we don't have Geronimo Allison, be it hasn't been picked up so much from Geronimo. But I don't know. I'm starting to have my doubts about Goody, which I never say, and which is why
me too.
I got the dumb Packer
brain.
But
like
brain
you look
week.
At these two losses, and it's like there is something very obviously clearly missing. Again, this team is really good, and they're going to make the playoffs, and they're going to be in contention to go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. But the downfall of this team is not going to be surprising, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And it sucks too. And
it's going to be heartbreaking, but it's not going to be surprising.
we'll finish on this as far as talking about sadness. You know, for the draft and everything, we had very little that we could actually doubt Goody with. His free agent moves have been overall good enough. His draft moves have been okay even after the draft. You know, we have Jair and some other okay pieces. But you're casting this doubt with the fans, which, whatever, we don't know anything.
Right.
Around the league with Rodgers, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And this doubt is creeping up before he's going to have to make the most important decision, aside from taking Jordan Love, it's moving on
when
from Aaron
to,
Rodgers. And yep. when is that going to happen? Because with Ted Thompson, sure, you know, it happened right away where people were pissed. But eventually, you know, it was a couple years down the line, and they were pissed when we went with Rodgers.
But at least Favre did him a favor, making it a little easier where he was flip-flopping,
yep.
in and out, retirement, whatever.
And we made it to the NFC Championship game as well, so it was still a very good team. But now it's like this doubt is creeping up so much sooner than I was expecting when he's going to have to make that kind of decision, and that's what scares the absolute shit out of me. Imagine if we move on from Aaron Rodgers this offseason and everything falls
apart.
Oh
my God. I mean, there's no way they do it this offseason.
There's
no way.
Matt Schneidman loves saying that this could be the last year of Aaron Rodgers. Oof.
But I mean, and that's like, as opposed to what the decision with Favre, Rodgers has made it abundantly clear over and over and over. He has no interest in stop playing football anytime
yeah.
soon. Nope. So yeah, it's tough. And you know, when the inevitable Goody press conference, I don't know when it is, if it's today or tomorrow or whatever.
Oh, he's not talking until the combine, dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's how it works.
He talked at the deadline last year? I'm pretty sure.
Either way, if he does,
you know what we're going to hear. I really like the guys we got in our locker room.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again.
Yeah, he's been using that line for MVS and EQ for 3 years. But moving on, you know, we talked about Aaron Rodgers a little bit there. We drafted him, a team that he wishes he got drafted by. I don't know if you've ever heard this story.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I don't think I guess at the time. Yeah.
He was a 49ers fan, and the Niners overlooked him. And guess what? This week, he's going to be pissed off, and he's going to show them
He's
still... Like, how many years are we going to run with that storyline? Sorry, I'm so fucking negative. Okay, so we play the San Francisco 49ers on Thursday Night Football, only a couple days away. I believe we are favored by 2.5 or 3 points, which is kind of weird. But at the same time, the Niners are even more banged up than we are. Kyle Shanahan announced today and yesterday that Tevin Coleman will be out along with Jimmy G and George Kittle. Also, Coleman's out, and I believe the kryptonite of us, Mostert
is still on IR,
so we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, the best player in football, or one of the best players in football, George Kittle, is a huge, massive blow to the 49ers and two of my fantasy football teams. Mm-hmm. But we're playing a C squad, and yet I have this very shaken confidence that I have shaken confidence in the Packers, but I have zero confidence in their defense to stop the run of Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's a bright spot. You know, they're losing weapons. Hey, they cut Dante Pettis. Maybe we'll pick him up.
Please, but something.
Yeah, because they have Brandon Ayuk. They've got
Debo's not going to play. I think. Did you already mention that?
I don't think I mentioned that. Yeah,
he was. He's a really good football player as well. And yeah, it doesn't look like he's going to be able to play. So again, a C squad.
Yeah, a C squad. They've still shown up pretty well this year. I mean, Shanahan's the one coach more than any other in the league. Belichick, he's, you know, kind of taken some punches this year. But Shanahan, he's the one guy who I feel like, you know, you hand him any roster and he can put a competent offense together.
A team that's going to fight and be competitive.
And I feel like that's what we're going to see on Thursday. I don't know. I guess.
And Jimmy G might not be it. Like,
I don't think
so. I wasn't watching the Niners Seahawks too intently this past Sunday, but it looked like as soon as Jimmy G went down, Mullins, you know, was a much better spark and was not much a drop off. If anything, the opposite.
Yeah, the no mistake guy. That's what you once again, just don't make mistakes. And Jimmy G does that at times when he actually has to throw. But yeah, I don't know. Their defense is probably fine. I know they've been ravaged by injuries.
Yeah, no
too.
Sherman still.
Bosa. Still Bosa's dead.
Bosa's ACL.
Yeah.
ACL.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I don't know. I'm not even like excited for this game as much as I thought I would be.
Seriously, it's so like Pettin has just like rattled me to my core to where, I mean, we've said it a thousand times this episode, like
sad.
The downfall of this team is so obvious, and it's going to be
pain.
the reason that this team loses in the playoffs.
Yeah, we're not going to deep dive there. I guess it's looking like Aaron Jones will shoot. I guess we do have to talk about this. Now, so many things have happened in the last few days with the Packers. So Jamal Williams is officially out.
Yeah.
Kamal Martin is officially out. And A.J. Dillon is officially out because of COVID. A.J. Dillon tested positive on Sunday. We're not going to get into all that. How in the hell does he play when he's positive? And he was in close contact with the other two guys, so none of them are playing. I don't know. Hopefully Alan Lazard is back. I'm still holding out hope that Aaron Jones is going to play, which would be a huge relief, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean,
other than that, Irvin is going to be the only
running back. Irvin and Dexter Williams probably, might get cut, you know, 2 weeks ago. it sucks because you can't pick anyone up because of the COVID restrictions now, too. So it's like, okay, Dexter, I guess you're RB1.
So not only do we have a Kyle Shanahan running game to go against, but our second line of defense is going to include Ty Summers.
Yeah, hell yeah. Well, hey, maybe Kirksey's back too. We'll just have to see.
Ooh, that's right.
But I will start off the prediction sticking along with the tone of the episode, how, you know, obviously bubbly, flowery, happy we are.
God, this is one of our worst episodes ever, I think.
It's negative. It's in depth. Hey, I had the
we're
nice
always,
little...
I always try to bring the chipperness and you know, be happy-go-lucky, but man, I am rattled this week.
And I've said it way too many times now. I'll put another dollar in the redundant jar for how many times we're repeating ourselves. But the dumb Packer fan brain has taken over to the point where, as much as we've bitched this episode and we've had this negative mindset all week, we are 5-2. We are a 5-2 football team. We've talked about it before. We are so damn blessed to be fans of the Green Bay Packers. Like, think of it. Right now, this is the worst you've felt about your favorite football team over the last 2 years, and we are 5-2. Imagine what it's going to be like if Aaron Rodgers ever retires or we move on from him, because we are so damn spoiled. So at least let's try to keep that in mind.
Perspective. I like that. Thank you, Spence.
Keeping it positive, you know, moving forward, my prediction for the game, you know, we're going to San Francisco. So I'm picking the Packers to lose 27-34 against the 49ers. And I'll
34?
And Kyle, I'm saying this, and this is my heart. I am ripping it out and showing it to everyone. I hope we lose this game. I hope we get shit on. I hope the offense plays well, but we get shit on. And I hope we get rid of Mike Pettine, because if we do not get rid of Mike Pettine before the playoffs, this team is not winning a Super Bowl unless Aaron Rodgers goes back to 2010. You know, he goes back in time and he turns into Superman, because that is the only way this team... The defense will show up fine in spurts, but as soon as they actually have to play football, they're not going to play football. And I hope it happens this week so we can just rip the Band-Aid off. I don't care if it's Jerry Gray. I don't care if it's Mike Smith as the defensive coordinator. I am just sick of it, and I want to have hope. And there is no hope with Mike Pettine. Kyle, what are your predictions for the game?
Wow. Another impassioned speech. Yeah. I don't think I'll ever find it within me to like actively hope they lose, but I see where you're coming from, and yeah, I totally agree that, you know, Pettine's going to be the downfall, and I even if they get smacked, I would be shocked, floored if they let go of Pettine.
I know,
but yeah, I'm still not going to pick them to lose. I'm going to go 31-21. Good guys.
Okay.
Green Bay Packers are going to win the football game. We're going to come back next week and be all chipper and yay, we're good again.
Hey, what is it? Adam Sandler? Hey, we don't suck. Whatever.
Oh, no, it's Rob Schneider. Oh, no, we suck again.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so the opposite. Maybe that will happen. I hope that happens, I guess. All right, well, bold prediction. As much as I just shit all over the defense and I kind of talked bad about this guy earlier, why not? Josh Jackson, show us why you were taken in the second round. I think Josh Jackson causes a turnover this week.
Ooh.
You know, he was supposed to be a ball hawk playmaker coming out of the draft. I liked him more than Jair Alexander in that draft class. Come on, Josh, let's see it. You're probably going to have to play a bit more. Let's see it.
All right, I will go offensive side of the ball then. And I think I'm just going to take a page out of your bold playbook. And I think it's finally time to unleash the freak. The freak Malik.
Oh, wow.
Let's go.
Snip, snap, snip.
Let's go 75 receiving yards.
That's not bold enough. Yeah, that's bold
enough. I was just going to say, you said 50 last week.
Sometimes it's like it takes an extra half second to be like, oh, wait a minute. He's not that dumb. Like you're saying that to me.
You're good at deadpan. What can I say?
Okay, well, wow, what a fun episode for everyone. Hey, how we finish every episode. If you could please leave a 5-star review, leave a rating, subscribe, unsubscribe, then resubscribe. Get those numbers up. Share it wherever you want. Tell some friends. Tell some family. Tell some enemies. Tell some villains. I don't care. Tell anyone.
But just make sure they 5-star it. Like, if they're Vikings fans, you know, maybe don't tell them. But if you do, make sure they 5-star it.
Hell yeah. Yeah. God, it's bad. We haven't even really talked about the Vikings too much. We talked so much shit last week.
Yeah.
It's like we went from talking shit about the Vikings to talking shit about our team.
I learned a lesson. I always get humbled when I turn into arrogant Packers fan. I'm confident and I love our guys. And I think, you know, we're going to win the Super Bowl every year. But when I get arrogant and start like, you know, talking shit a little too much, I get humbled. And that was a valuable lesson last week.
It's the football gods, because we feel good and I feel like it's entertaining when it happens, but then the football gods just, you know, squat.
So I just
all over us.
Got to go back to just, you know, liking our guys and kind of talking a modest amount of shit instead of, you know, crossing the line to where I'm annoying. And I crossed that line last week.
Yeah.
It's big of me to admit.
Well, yeah, you're a great person, Kyle.
Thank you.
But yeah, once again, this is an independent podcast, so sure, you know, leave a rating, whatever you can do to help. We are cool guys. Hey, and guess what? That's not persuasive.
True, yeah.
We're cool guys. Right. Yeah, once again, we both have sunglasses on and we're both smoking cigarettes, drinking a beer. We're very cool. But we have a new review this week. This is from Kiwi Walks. Kiwi Walks, whatever. Okay.
All right.
5 stars.
Just call him Kiwi.
Favorite Packer podcast. PMP hey. Podcast is my favorite Packers pod by far. Exclamation point. Kyle and Spence really know their stuff and do an amazing job reviewing the previous game and previewing the one coming up. And not so much this week. All while being lighthearted, yes, and fun. Very fun this
week. Oh, yes.
They make me feel like we're all just sitting around, drinking a beer, and talking about sports.
Boom.
Boom.
That's the fucking vibe we're trying to give off, baby.
Yeah, at first we didn't think that was going to be the vibe, but now that is the vibe.
That's absolutely
the
vibe.
We are the Poor Man's Packers podcast. We are not New York, whatever, just NFL guys who have the number one Packers podcast.
You're going to spit a bunch of numbers at you?
Yeah, putting out stupid tweets. Yeah. But yeah, with that, Kyle, what a fun episode for everyone. I probably do have something else to talk about, but I mean, this is already our longest episode. I have nothing else. Kyle, do you have anything else to talk about?
No, sir. Previous week.
Probably good. Well, Pearl Jam had a little re-release of their Unplugged, so Pearl Jam, please don't sue us.
Pack, go.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.